sad indeed that many will take a wonderful and beautiful account that's given unto us in the Bible and destroy it. But you know, someone did that just this morning. I'm going to withhold their name to protect the guilty. He said, "What was Boaz before he met Ruth?" And unfortunately, my mind came up with the answer. He was ruthless. And it wasn't Alan Griffith that told me that either. That's what most people would probably think. But in all seriousness, indeed, far worse happens. The account that we have recorded for us in the book of Ruth is a wonderful picture of a lady of great character. A lady that indeed is one worthy of honor, one worthy of imitation. And yet sadly there are many that degrade Ruth, and this account is nothing more than some account of infidelity and lewdness. And yet as we begin to peer into the things that are said of Ruth, we realize that is far from what is true. As we celebrate Mother's Day today, I thought so much of Ruth, whom specifically is regarded as a great mother herself. We don't oftentimes think about that. But here is Ruth that is exalted to great honor, even by inspiration. First and foremost, she's, of course, given great honor in the fact that she is one of two women for whom a book of the Bible will be named, of course, Esther being the other. Both great women of character and moral, lessons of that we learn from them. But also, here by inspiration, as we go to the account of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 1, he begins by giving us a genealogy of Jesus Christ, and within that, Ruth is going to be honored as one of the five women that are directly named by inspiration in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Tamar is mentioned in verse 3, Rahab in verse 5, and again also Ruth there in verse 5, and then also Mary in verse 16, the mother of Jesus. That gets me 4. The other one I was thinking of is Bathsheba, who in verse 6 is mentioned only by way of indication, being the wife of Uriah. And so she's exalted even to great status there by Matthew. One of two Gentile women even that are listed in that account, Ruth herself being a Moabite woman, whom will return with Naomi after her husband and that is the husband of Naomi and her two sons have passed away. And as we look at her life, we begin to recognize some character traits that I pray and I think are in many of the mothers that are here today. And we're thankful for that. And even yet, I hope, are character traits that we strive to develop in our own lives, whether we're a mother, whether we're a father, or not. What are some of the great traits that we begin to learn from Ruth as we look at her account? One of the first things that comes to mind is that Ruth was faithful. Ruth was faithful to a lot of people. Of course, she was faithful to Naomi, her mother-in-law. Here, Ruth is going to show, number one, that she was willing to cling to Naomi. As Naomi prepares to return back to her homeland, she turns to her daughters-in-law. Her sons are now dead. Her husband is dead. And she tells them, "Why don't you go back?" Verse 8. "Why don't you return?" As you look at the following verses, she said, "I can give you no sons. Why don't you return into your own homeland? Why don't you there find husbands from your own people?" Her sister-in-law, Orpha, she will indeed return. But as we can find in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 14, but Ruth clave to her. Ruth clave to Naomi. She was going to cling with her. In fact, we have that beautiful passage there in verse 16 and 17 of Ruth chapter 1. That Ruth says, no, do not ask me to go back, for I will go with you, and nothing will separate us. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my people. I am going with you. And so she clung to her mother-in-law. But also, we see there in verse 16, as just mentioned, think of all that Ruth gave up. She was willing to go with her mother-in-law, even though it meant leaving behind the homeland that she had known all of her life. It meant leaving behind her family. Naomi now was her family that she would go with. In fact, we might even be able to say she here was leaving behind her gods. The deities that she had likely been taught of and known as she was growing up there in Moab, she was leaving even them behind. And so she was faithful to Naomi. But also she was faithful to Naomi in the sense that she was obedient to her. When you find Naomi and Ruth coming back into the land of Canaan, you're going to find Ruth being one that's going to listen to her mother-in-law. She's going to be obedient to her. In fact, we could look in Ruth chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And Ruth said unto Naomi, all that thou hast said unto me, I will do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. Here, Naomi has expressed that which she thinks Ruth ought to do. And here's but one occasion where Ruth shows her respect to Naomi's wisdom, to her instruction, that she's willing to listen to her and go and do what she says. And so she was faithful to Naomi. But not only that, she was faithful even to Mahlon, her now dead husband. And we think, how is that? Well, she continued to care for his mother. And I believe this is part of why she refuses to turn away from Naomi. Likely the two had grown in a close relationship, yes. But in honor and respect to her husband, she was going to continue looking after her mother. You remember there, as you're looking in Ruth chapter 1, Naomi has said to her two daughters-in-law in verse 9, the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. She's urging them. You go and find husbands of your own people in your own land. But no, Ruth was going to be faithful to her husband in continuing to care for her mother-in-law. In fact, even as we go further, we find in respect in which Ruth is willing to honor her husband, to be faithful to him, because she was willing to raise up a child in his name. In Ruth chapter 4 and verse 10, moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place ye are witnesses this day. As Boaz is there taking Ruth to be his wife, he also expresses this same idea that we will raise up a child in his name. And she does that not by going and raising up a child from her own people, but here one that was a near kinsman to her husband. And so that she could indeed raise up this child in his name. But then also she was faithful unto God. Go back and read that wonderful passage of Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16. And she said, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. Whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Ruth here likely has heard of this God. The God of the Jews, the God of all creation, the God who has brought into being their very lives and everything that was around them. I imagine they have told Ruth of this God. And it seems at least she has become one that would follow God. She's heard of Him. She claims Him even here as His own. And I think also as we go a little further in Ruth chapter 2 in verse 12, this is a report that is going to be heard of Ruth. For Boaz will say, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." That's not Ruth's own words. That's what others are saying of her, that she has come to trust in God. I wish I knew more exactly of how much she knew of God and how much she followed Him. But at least the indication of the text would suggest she had come to know God and was wanting, willing to follow Him and His will. And in that regard, was continuing faithfully with Him. And as we look at all of those things, what do we learn? We first ask ourselves, are we too going to be like Ruth? Are we going to be faithful as she was to her mother-in-law? Are we going to be faithful unto others? Specifically, I think about, are we going to be faithful in our word? The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus would say, "Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatever is more than these cometh of evil," Matthew 5 and verse 37. Are people going to be able to trust you? Are you known as a truthful person? Is someone able to say, because He said He would do it, it's going to be done? Are people going to be able to say, because she said she would not, I know that she will keep her word? Jesus says, let your affirmative be affirmative. Let your negative be negative. You stand by your word. You mean what you say. And in that very action, let others know you are going to be faithful to them and whomever we come in contact with. Are we going to be faithful in our obligation to one another? By way of command through those disciples, we read of Jesus' word in John 13 and verse 34. As He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Love wasn't necessarily anything new. There was commandments of love in the Old Testament. What was particularly new here is this qualifier. Love one another as I have loved you. That's a broad scope. That we love one another. Even Jesus on other occasions is going to apply this. You love your enemies such that you would seek their best interest. And certainly as He looked around at His disciples that were following Him, you as children of God, ye love one another. Are we going to keep our commitments there? Are we indeed going to be those that not only will be known by their word, but they're going to be known by their very actions to be faithful unto others? Then I think of Ruth as she was faithful to her husbands. What about we as husbands and wives? Are we going to be faithful one to another? Think of that beautiful passage that Paul records for us in Ephesians chapter 5. As it starts in verse 22 and he says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. But also your husbands," verse 25, "you love your wives, even as the Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." You be united one to another, verse 31. "A man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." In verse 33, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband." Are we going to be faithful one to another? That goes far beyond just saying, are you going to be faithful in terms of adultery to your spouse? Are you not going to leave them and depart for them for another? This goes beyond just remaining in a relationship with them. Are you truly going to love one another? Are you truly going to respect one another? Are you going to honor the commitments you've entered into one with another as husband and wife? Are you going to be faithful one to another as you've been instructed? And then also, Ruth was faithful unto God. Will we be as well? We read the great passages of Paul, and he says, "Moreover, it's required in a steward a man be found faithful." 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. Again, we could take broad application and recognize what has God given us, and we recognize it's everything. Time and time again, we're going to be reminded we are servants of God, therefore we are stewards of God with what He has entrusted us. Oftentimes when we think of stewardship, we think of money, but there's much more. Our time, our efforts, our relationships, the blessings we're given in a physical and material sense, the opportunities we're given in life, the talents or abilities that we have. Are we going to manage all of those things and commit them unto God and be faithful in His service? That we can be a good steward using them as He would have us to? That's what it's going to take to be faithful unto God. Even as we read in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21, will these words be able to be said of us? As Jesus is picturing this judgment scene, and to those stewards, those servants that have well managed that which He has entrusted unto them, as He is taking account of them, and the one with five talents comes, and the ones with two talents come, and each have doubled that which they have been given, they've used it wisely, He'll look at each of them and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Why? Because you have used that which I've given you. Notice, not just that you have avoided misusing what I have given you, but you have used what I've given you. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Are we going to be faithful in that which He has entrusted us with? Are we going to be faithful as His servants? Certainly knowing the end of that reward is recorded in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. That if we are faithful even unto the point of death, that you would give your life. You would give that which most people would value the highest in their life, in this world. You would even give that for the cause of Christ. The end result, I will give thee a crown of life. You're going to enjoy that eternal home with God in heaven if you're faithful unto Him. What a wonderful example there from Ruth. But not just that she was faithful, also here we see a great example in Ruth of one that was selfless. She was willing to deny herself. One thing that we first learn in Ruth chapter 2, beginning in verse 2, is that here was a worker. Here was a worker that was willing to go out and labor that she might provide for both her needs and the needs of Naomi, her mother-in-law. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 2, Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." Skip down to verse 18. And she, that is Ruth, took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned and that she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. You understand here that here is Ruth? And she's not sitting around waiting for someone to do for her. She's not sitting around waiting for someone else to beg her or ask her to go forth and labor. She comes to her mother-in-law and says, "Let me go forth that I might provide for us." And even as she is enjoying her lunch that day, she sets some aside that she might take it home for Naomi, that she too might have to eat. What a wonderful example then of one that's not just waiting around for what is someone going to put on my plate, but one that selflessly says, "I will go. I will labor to provide both for my needs and for the needs of others. But also, in the selflessness, we see she wasn't too proud to be thankful. Ruth is going to be treated extremely well by Boaz. In fact, as we come to Ruth chapter 2 and verse 10, she will fall on her face and bow herself to the ground and say unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" You see a great thankfulness in Ruth. She doesn't forget to thank those around her, both in word and in action, what they've done for her. Here, even falling down before his feet and thanking him for the great kindness and favor. I'm afraid some people have become almost too proud to be willing to be thankful to others, even being thankful unto God. But then there's something else about her selflessness too. It was evident to others. Look at Ruth chapter 4 and verse 15. And there is a praise here after the birth of Ruth's child, particularly directed unto Naomi. And it says, "He," that is this grandchild that has been born unto her, "He shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, a nourisher of thine old age for thy daughter-in-law, which lovest thee, which is better to thee than seven sons hath borne him." Notice, here are people of the cities, ladies of the city, that have witnessed how Ruth has treated Naomi. And they don't look and say, "Oh, how she has mistreated her, and oh, how thankless she has been." They see a great love that Ruth has shown to Naomi. Not just that Ruth would say, "I love you," to Naomi, but that she showed it in her very actions, and it became evident for all to see. So that others even were praising her now for that selflessness. And what about ourselves? Are we willing to provide and to help others that are in great need? We see various examples of this. I think first of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. Here, was a man that was traveling along, that wasn't too proud to stop and help someone, that didn't have to be asked, "Will you help this person? Will you bind up his wounds? Will you take and get him what he needs?" He saw what was needed. It was evident. And even though these would be considered enemies, he stopped and he helped someone that he saw in need. We think also maybe of the churches of Macedonia. As Paul is writing to them in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he would say, "To their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing to give of themselves. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but they gave first of their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." 2 Corinthians 8, verse 3 and 5. Here he saw in them a great example. Also, they didn't have the ability to give as they did, but nevertheless they did, and they desired us. They entreated us that we would take it from them because they saw a great need that someone else had and they wanted to help meet it. There's a selfless attitude. They were more concerned with the cares and the concerns of others than they were with their own cares and their own concerns. And so Paul writes this great tribute by inspiration to those churches of Macedonia. But also we're going to find that this is an attitude that is required of us all as Christians. In fact, we could go to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. As Paul says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than himself." Did Ruth think herself too great to go forth and labor? No. Did she say someone else should do it for me? I'll wait and see who will give me the handout. No, she was willing to humble herself even before others to go and help them. We have to ask ourselves, are we willing to humble ourselves before others to help them in the needs and the concerns that they have? Or are we too proud and too haughty to lift a finger to help anyone else? The example of Ruth was that she would help someone that was in need, even as she saw the need of herself, the need of her mother-in-law, Naomi. But it's one thing we humble ourselves before others. Will we humble ourselves before God? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, be not overly anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Not just that you can come to God and ask Him for all of the things that you think you need in life, but even willing to humble ourselves before God such that we would thank Him for all that He has blessed us with. It takes a humble heart and a thankful heart to be able to recognize the great blessings that we have all around us. I heard someone say one time, or maybe I read it, that you can take a person that is just simply thankless. And they can look around in their life and say, I have nothing for which to be thankful. But you let that person begin writing down as he goes through the day the things that he's thankful for. And if he will truly work at it, before you know it, he won't be able to write down everything that he's thankful for. Because as he begins to soften that heart, as he begins to look around and see everything that indeed he does have to be thankful for, he's going to realize how richly he is blessed. You can take our own nation, and there are people that admittedly are on a lower economic class in this nation, and they can think, I have nothing for which to be thankful. And yet usually, even those that are at the very bottom of our social and economic classes in this nation oftentimes have it far better than many others that are in the world. And so we can look around and we can say, I have nothing to be thankful for. But the reality is, are we going to humble ourselves and realize I have more than I could ever imagine to be thankful for? But not only that, not just humbling ourselves to be thankful before God, but humbling ourselves that we would follow God. As Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. There's selflessness. What are you going to be concerned most about? Getting everything for yourself? Self-interest? Or are we going to be willing to deny ourselves? Deny ourselves instead of the interest of this world or the pleasures that we might seek in this life. I'm going to deny myself and I'm going to look not to my own will and to the will of the world, but I'm going to look to the will of God, and that I am going to follow, and I am going to follow it daily. It's going to again take this attitude of selflessness that we see in the life of Ruth. And then finally, I want you to notice that here was a lady that was honorable. As we look at these passages, it's why I'm simply disgusted, is one that would suggest that here was Ruth just throwing herself at somebody. What we read here is not a picture of lewdness, but rather of an honorable woman that was seen even in the life of those that lived around, even in her life, by those that were seen around her. Boaz is going to praise her for this in chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. And he said, who art thou? She answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaiden. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. For thou hast shown more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. He praises her for doing that which was right over doing that which she might desire. And Boaz knew there are younger, maybe more attractive men of the city that Ruth could seek after. But she was doing that which was right. She was going here to her near kinsman to seek after his hand in marriage. And she praises him for that. In fact, as we look at other accounts here, you're going to see that people knew of the life of Ruth that she was honorable. In fact, she's going to be known by her character by those that saw her. Look in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 11. He continues and says, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know thou art a virtuous woman." That's not a reputation that's easy to come by. That's not a reputation that one gets by sneaking around and doing lewd acts. But rather, it's a reputation that one gets by doing those things that are right. And I'll suggest also it's a reputation that one gets by doing those things that are right simply for the sake of doing things that are right and not for their own honor and glory. You see, we know people that do those things that would appear right unto others just so they could be praised. That's not what's happening here. We can oftentimes see through that and recognize there's a person that's just self-seeking. But Boaz had heard from others of the city of the actions of Ruth. People saw the things that she did. They saw the life she lived. They saw the actions. They saw the way she conducted herself. And said, "Here is a virtuous woman. Here is one that doeth that which is right." Indeed, she was honorable. Again, one can try to establish that type of lifestyle or that kind of reputation by telling others how honorable they are, but that won't get you the reputation in the sight of other people. Ruth here was living this type of honorable life. That's why people could look at her and give her that kind of praise. And that's why others would hear. Boaz didn't say, "I've seen you as an honorable person." Certainly he had. But he says, "I have heard from all of the city that you're honorable. That you do these great things. That indeed you are a virtuous woman." Too often we can quickly become concerned with what we desire. And we can become concerned with the things of this world and put aside those things that are right. But the Proverbs writer is going to remind us, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Proverbs 22 and verse 1. What are you going to seek first? That which is right? Or that which might be an earthly desire? We see in the life of Ruth one that was willing to put forth first in her life that which was right. And oh, how we need mothers that will establish in their children and in their daughters to grow up. And oh, how we need people in the Lord's church and people in our communities, in our world, that will have that same type of characteristic. That are going to live the life and teach others to live a life that's going to say, "I'm going to put what's right first in my life. I'm going to seek those things that are good and recognize that is of utmost importance." I think again of the virtuous woman of Proverbs chapter 31, who recognizes favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. Those are things that are passing that might be here today and gone tomorrow. They're not of great value in our life. Yet that's not what our society says. They honor favor. They honor popularity. They put it first. They honor beauty and say that's what really matters. And we begin to teach our young girls from a very young age that's what's expected of you. No, we need to be teaching them the latter end of this verse. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. That's what's right to put forth. That's how Ruth is able to be praised in such a manner, because she did those things that were right. Peter worded it in this way as he's speaking about the influence a wife might have over her husband in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Whose adorning, let it not be of the outward adorning or the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold and the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. He says, you value that right character far above anything else. Because what matters most is our estimation before God. What does He think of us? Are we going to seek those things that are right in order to be pleasing unto Him? And when we do that, we're going to have the same type of honorable reputation that Ruth had. In fact, it's what we're to strive for. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. You show yourselves to the world at all times as honorable people, as people that are conducting yourselves in a right way. Again, that's the example of Ruth. Now I want you to notice, as we've looked at these character traits that should be part of all of us, that when we do these things, there's something that's going to happen because of it. When we're living a life of honor and a life of selflessness and a life of faithfulness, then we're also going to be living the kind of life that Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. You let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Is that not what Ruth did? She let her light shine as one that was faithful, as one that was selfless, as one that was honorable, and others saw it in her. When we live that same kind of life, people are going to see it. They are going to witness it. They're going to be able to say even of us those same things. I love this picture here that I just happened to cross last night. But you notice that little girl looking up to her mother as a role model, as an example. And that's the type of people we need to be. It's the type of people we need in the church. That we look up to such examples as Ruth. And be thankful for those that we have, even in our midst here today, that would be like Ruth, an example for others to follow. And that we even seek after such examples to follow them. But not only that, but then that we also strive then to be that kind of people. Recognizing at some point somebody's going to be looking up to us. Somebody's going to be noticing our example. And what will they see? Will they see a virtuous person? Will they see one that's bringing honor and glory to their name by the way that they live, even as Ruth did? Because still today, when we hear that name, we think of the great character traits that she possessed, and hopefully have a greater desire to establish those same things in our own lives, even tonight. What wonderful examples we have all over the Scriptures of faithful men and women that long to serve God, that provide us examples of how we do so. Are we going to make the decision that I too want to be faithful even unto God? That I'm going to hear His Word and follow it? That I'm going to will repent of my sins and confess Christ? That I will be baptized or immersed in water for the remission of my sins? That I might be added to the church? That I would continue living that faithful life? That I will make the decisions that I am going to follow God and the type of character He would have me to be. That indeed, not only just living faithfully, but I know as part of that, that I'm going to live an honorable and I'm going to live a selfless life, even as Ruth and others that we read of in the Bible give us that great example. I hope you can learn from these things and grow from them. I hope you ever set before yourselves characteristics such as this, that we strive to improve on, that we strive to grow in. And maybe there's even someone here tonight that's subject to that invitation to become a New Testament Christian or to be restored unto the Lord's church, to faithfulness, or has some other need that maybe we can help you with and pray with you even tonight. If so, won't you let that be known, even as together we stand and sing.